Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
All right, guys. Houston Astros pitchers and catchers reported to spring training in West Palm Beach yesterday. What did we learn? One, Josh Hader is the closer. Two, Justin Verlander, JP France are behind schedule with nagging injuries that don't seem to be serious in nature. So we heard from Joe Espada, who talked about how both Hader is going to be the closer and how he had to have a conversation with Ryan Presley. We heard from Josh Hader on his relationship. And we heard from Verlander, who explained the hiccup. Again, nothing to be, I think, super concerned about. But that was the big stuff that happened yesterday. And I think, guys, now that we have officially reached Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach, I think it's time to start another countdown so that we can keep on playing that trombone, baby. Give me that bone.
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros season opener against the New York Yankees March 28th.
How about that? We get to reset our countdown. So, opening day is March 28th. How many days away that is? Oh, crap. This kind of sucks. It's 42 days away. 42 days away. Has me wondering, hey, Paul, who's the greatest number 42 in Astros franchise history?
Astros legend, Jackie Robinson.
Guess what?
There's probably someone before that.
There's actually a greatest number 42 in history, and we're going to have to do him justice and play this commercial that he was famous for before the end of the segment. So I'm going to throw something on you really quickly, okay, Sean, in a moment. Jose Lima was number 42 with the Houston Astros. Lima time. Let's go. Casa Olay. Remember those commercials from back in the day? We'll play it before the end of the segment. I thought for sure that at 42, there would be no Houston Astro. Shout out to Jose Lima. Shout out to Jackie Robinson. And shout out, you know, there's somebody else who wore number 42. You know who that is, Sean?
Mariano Rivera.
No.
Oh.
So I'm not talking about Ronnie Lott either. You know who I'm about to say.
Lance McCullers minus one?
No. There's somebody else who wore number 42, and you know him very well.
Who was it, Paul?
Well, I wore number 42 in high school. Yeah. You know I wore number 42? I wanted to wear number 45 because I loved Pedro Martinez growing up, and one of my relatives had to go and die, so I didn't get to pick up the number 45 on jersey selection day. So I got 42. I'm just kidding, Aunt Teresa. I love you. But that was the one practice I missed in high school, and I didn't get to pick out the number. I still love that about that. But hey, I got to wear number 42 and honor the legacy of Jackie Robinson Jr. and Jose Lima. Do we have a Casa Olay commercial for everybody? Casa Olay, something today. Casa Olay.
One second. There's
okay.
So
little buffering issues, of course.
On YouTube. Okay. Before watching an old commercial, by the way, there's an ad.
But it's one thing I love more than getting my pitch over the plate, and that is getting over this plate in Casa Olay. Olay!
It's like a fiesta in Casa Olay. Olay.
Casa Olay, fresh today, every day. Get a free child's play. We'll use ticket stub for any Astros game.
Casa Olé. Fresh today. Olé. Every day. Casa Olé. Olé.
Huzzah! Love that commercial. RIP Jose Lima. So, With Astros spring training officially begun, I don't think we're going to learn much over the course of the next 42 days before they open up the regular season. There's really only two things that I'm hoping for. Number one, Yiner Diaz develops a rapport with all of the pitchers for the Astros. And it's going to be tricky to develop that rapport because spring training is so weird for pitchers. A pitcher could have a terrible outing in spring training, and they'll say, yeah, I was just working on some stuff. You will hear this a lot over the next couple of weeks. And to their defense, in a lot of situations, yeah, that's what they're going to be doing there. But when you're working on stuff and you got a catcher that's behind the plate for the first time working with these guys, and I would assume being a part of that process of them trying to better themselves along with Astros pitchers, coaches, that is going to be tricky. So this is a big time for Yiner Diaz, who's going to be working with some of the Astros' most important pitchers, but I would imagine in very limited sample sizes because of just the way that players play in spring training. They're sharing a lot of time with all sorts of other players who are just trying to fight and make a major league roster.
Yeah, like there is an element of there'll be guys that are like, I am only throwing fastballs and sliders today.
Correct.
Even when it doesn't make sense to throw, I have a changeup, but I just will not. I'm working on fastballs and sliders today, and that's all they do. So it's not exactly like perfectly representative of who a pitcher is. But like you said, a catcher who's going to take on his first full year behind the plate. It does kind of, raise your eyebrow, especially when one of the guys that he won't be able to work with is, if not the best, the second best pitcher on the Astros, starting pitcher on the Astros, Justin Verlander, and a guy who wanted to work with Martin Maldonado in the past as much as possible. It's because he's behind on his, where his body wants to be right now. He's missing out that time with working with Yiner Diaz. And that to me is probably the most interesting Yiner-related thing in spring training, is just how much work will those two guys get together.
That's a good point. I think we should maybe create, similar to our DEFCON scale or our terror level scale that we have in the United States, I think we should create a Astros panic scale with 10 being Ken Giles punching himself in the face and 1 being Ryan Presley at his peak. Where you at here?
Okay.
And I would say that I'm at about a 2 or 3 as far as that being a major factor going into the regular season.
Yeah, I think it'll be something. Maybe it can even get ironed out in the regular season.
Correct. Most of this is going to be ironed out during the regular
April
season.
April and May.
You just hope that it is by April and May that Diaz feels very confident in himself. It's a tough spot to be in where you're a young guy. This team has had a vocal leader at catcher before, and it has a lot of great players. And yes, there's a lot of potential with Diaz at the plate, but from a defensive perspective, I do wonder on that front. That will be a challenge, earning the respect of his peers. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You got any questions or thoughts when it comes to the Astros in spring training? Share them. We got to react to a hot J-Bone, a.k.a. Jer Bear take from the Killer Bees about the Houston Astros. And we'll talk about a couple of other things that could be determined in West Palm Beach. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, home of non-human intelligence.
We're definitely not alone. Absolutely, the data points empirically that we're not alone. Yeah.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your favorite 10 to noon sports talk host, Paul Gallant. Give him hell, Paulie.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. We're on from 10 to noon. The Killer Bees with Jeremy Branham, a.k.a. Jer Bear, a.k.a. J-Bone Branham. And on top of that, Joel Blank. is on from 3 to 6 on this very station. Jeremy dropped a big ol' piping, steaming take yesterday in reaction to Joe Espada talking with the media about his meeting with Josh Hader and Ryan Presley, where he announced that Josh Hader is the closer. Here's what Jay Bone said. Quote, not only did Espada announce Hader as the closer, parentheses, right call, end parentheses, but he guaranteed this is Ryan Presley's final season in Houston. Now, what's funny is someone told Jeremy in the comments section underneath this tweet that Presley has a 2025 option that vests if he gets 50 appearances. He's likely still staying, barring a trade. It's only a mutual option if he doesn't get 50 appearances next season, which seems rather unlikely seeing as he had 65 last year. So I don't know if J-Bone was saying that Ryan Presley is going to ask for a trade or try to force his way off of the greatest dynasty currently going in baseball, but that is something that was put out there by Jeremy Branham. Meanwhile, we did finally hear from Ryan Presley on his side of things. He said he's completely on board with the addition of Josh Hader today and said that the team got better. Quote, I get paid to go get three outs. It don't matter if it's the fourth inning or the ninth inning, he said. So, listen, life comes at you fast. J-Bone came in with the flamethrower and then the flamethrower on the back of his, you know, neck, the little tank, right? Anyone used a flamethrower before? Anyone?
No.
You've never used a flamethrower?
No, never.
No, I haven't either, but I'm assuming the little tank that you got in the back, it's got all the fuel.
Yeah, I've seen movies.
It just blew up all over, and then he caught fire, and now he's just burning and writhing in agony.
Like he's Anakin Skywalker?
Yeah, I hate you! I hate you!
That random tweeter.
You were the chosen one, Ryan Presley! You were the chosen one! Hello there. So there you go. That's the hot take. Here are the other things, I guess, that could be determined by what we see in spring training. I guess center field could be determined in spring training. Does seem like Jake Meyers is getting the first crack at it. I'm wondering if that's going to last. I don't understand the idea of Mauricio Dubon starting on the bench as your utility guy. I think he should be your utility guy if injuries happen. I think that he earned a spot, much like Chaz McCormick the year before. I think he earned an everyday spot in the lineup, or at least a most day spot in the lineup. Jake Meyers is not as good as a hitter as Dubon. I know some people have pushed back with the idea that, well, Meyers has more potential. Okay, do you really think he's going to reach that potential? Maybe Meyers is a better fielder than I portrayed him in that little post that I put up there. I think he does rank pretty close to the top of baseball in a lot of metrics. I am definitely perhaps remembering some of the moments over the last 3 years where he has had one just absolutely tragic collision with the center field wall, and it usually has resulted in him not catching the ball. But that really seems to be the only position where there's a little bit of uncertainty as far as who's going to be the opening day starter. And it does seem like Meyers is going to be the guy, and that this would probably be determined more so in the regular season. As far as infield depth, it seems like it's between John Singleton, who is now, I guess, out of options. It's also Trey Cabbage, who is a lefty outfielder with speed and still has some minor league options, also some defensive versatility. Our guy, Gray Kessinger, David Hensley, sharp-dressed man. I do wonder if Singleton's going to make it onto the roster going into this year, because the lack of versatility, the lack of speed, like, really, what was his biggest trait that helped the Astros last year? He's very choosy at the plate, and he drew a huge walk before Jose Altuve hit that home run in game five. And he had the one game where he had two home runs, and he did nothing after that.
I was going to say, he had like, I think it was like a three-game stretch where he hit four home runs or just something crazy like that. But yes, in the grand scheme of things, he is a backup first baseman, DH-only kind of guy.
Yeah.
And I'd imagine, you know, I imagine that's the biggest spring training battle that's going to go on right now is Trey Cabbage and John Singleton.
Ooh, it's exciting. It's almost like spring training baseball is a thing that should be on every single game so that every fan can watch every single spring training game. Because you got battles like that.
Remember last year's spring training guy where it was he played super well. And then when the opening day roster came out, they're like, how the hell is Corey Jolks on this roster over Justin Durden?
Yeah, it was Justin Durden. You're right.
Whatever happened to Justin Durden?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like he exists anymore. Because the top prospects that are going into this spring training are Jacob Melton, who is their consensus top prospect. He's a lefty bat with power and speed. Dana Brown seems to have a pants tent for him. And then you got Joey Lopafido, who may or may not be Italian. I just want to say his name with a little Italian accent on it. He was the Astros minor league player of the year. I think he struggled at the AAA level compared to the AA level. He's a left-handed bat with power, speed, and versatility. So that's fun, but like, that's probably not going to be someone that you're thinking highly of until the end of this coming season. And maybe they'll make the top 100 prospects in baseball list. And then you've got Spencer Arrighetti, who's their minor league pitcher of the year, and Forrest Whitley, who still hasn't pitched in the majors. They drafted in 16. He's 26 years old. He you might see him this coming season, but that's really all that you're going to be potentially taking away from spring training. And I hate to say that spring training for Astros fans is a bit of a waste of time as far as like day-to-day coverage and paying attention to it, but it does feel like that's going to be the case for exactly the reason, Sean, that you said before. There will be some guy who does well. We will get kind of excited about him, but not that excited about him. And then we will totally forget about his existence after the fact.
Just say like, oh, this guy. Yeah.
That guy.
Justin Durden, by the way, was holding it down in Triple A Sugarland last year. So shout out to him. You could hear Justin Durden play a lot of his games last year on ESPN 92.5, your home of the Space Cowboys.
Yeah, that's true. Space Cowboy
time. J.J. Matuszewicz, Pedro León.
Woo!
I can name three.
Insert injured guys. Astro on rehab assignment?
Yes. I think Yordan played the game that I went to last year.
I think there were a couple of Jose Altuve appearances.
There were some Altuve.
From the 917, you just made the same argument for Presley that you said you didn't understand for Chris Jones. You implied Presley's priorities are out of whack and he'd be crazy to force a trade. No, I didn't. What are you talking about?
No, if you would have said that the team that's getting Ryan Presley's going to stop trying because he gets paid, then you would have been counterintuitive.
Where did I reading a Jeremy Branham tweet implying Presley's priorities are out of whack? Jesus Christ, the listening comprehension today, it has been suspect. Not by everyone, but by some people. I don't understand how this relates to Chris Jones at all. I literally read a Jeremy Branham tweet who said that you guaranteed that Presley is not going to stick with the Astros by announcing this decision, only for Presley to literally less than 24 hours later say, yeah, I'm fine with it.
Well, no, it was the part where you go, where you mentioned that he has an option or a mutual option or something. Or no, because he has the 50-game option. He's probably going to meet it, so he would have to demand a trade, basically, to be off this team. And you were like, he's probably not going to do that.
No, he's probably not going to do that. So this idea that Chris Jones, who has won three Super Bowls, but he's waiting to get that big-time contract.
Is an actual free agent, too. That's part of it.
Yeah, it's a weird comparison. Maybe I shouldn't have read this text. What do you think? 713-780-3776.
Hey, it is the most interactive show in Houston because we'll even read the bad text.
We will read the bad text, especially if they annoy us. And we're like, how the hell did someone come around to this line of thinking and make the apples to oranges comparison? Paul Galancho up next on this show. Hey, we haven't given you our CJ Stroud update today because we love just throwing that fresh meat out there. That deep steel blue chew to get you battle red ready to go. You'll hear some awesome audio about CJ Stroud next. It's the Paul Gallant Show. Stick around.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
You hooked up!
with it. You decided to marry it. I told you I wasn't into it. You said it didn't matter.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Paul Gallant. Join the devastation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
All right, guys, we like to give you audio relating to CJ Stroud that's going to get you ready to rock and roll for 2024. And the Houston Texans are back on the field looking to go boldly where they've never gone before, which is at least to the AFC Championship. At least to the AFC Championship. That's all we want next year. Lowered expectations for the Texans, but come on, you got to kick that door down. You got to do it. It hasn't happened very often here, even when the Oilers were in town. It's like 1979. Steelers and the Oilers. That was the last time. It's been a while. Anyway, CJ Stroud, a lot of reasons to be excited about his career, his future. He was on Cam Newton's podcast, and Cam Newton implied that Stroud may have had the best rookie season of all time. In fact, perhaps a rookie season that was better than Newton's record-setting year with the Carolina Panthers in 2011.
You had a great rookie season, bro.
Yeah, but we ain't make it to playoffs. We didn't win.
I hear you.
You won.
Yeah.
And you made that look sexy where you was like, you was standing on business.
Appreciate that.
And it wasn't even more of your performance more so than you just defying the odds, bro. You did it with so much class, so much grace. And really, I take you a step back. Your game versus Georgia, that was the national championship.
Semifinal.
Feel me?
Yeah.
I knew then. I was like, oh. Because you don't, if it ain't SEC in the South, you don't really get to really gauge it. Like,
right,
y'all
right.
play at noon.
Right, right.
So, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's what we just getting off the, you know, the tailgating of college football. But, bro, like, you really, that was your coming out party. And to keep following it up and then following it up and following it up. That's what I was most impressed about because, really, that market that you went in, it wasn't set up for you to win like you won.
Cam Newton is an SEC guy. First thing we learned. Cam Newton only pays attention to the SEC.
You know, these Ohio State games are just so hard to find. When's Ohio State even play? Like he plays in the WAC. Like,
I do love the SEC superiority complex. It's great. I mean, look, as someone who grew up rooting for the Florida Gators, I empathize with it. Because before that national championship game in 2006 between, or I guess it was 2007, but after the 2006 season between Florida and Ohio State, everyone thought Ohio State was going to walk through that game easily and that Michigan should have been in the national title. And that's where the SEC said, shut up. The Midwest blows. You guys suck. I think it was like 45 to like 12 or something like that, the final score.
41-14.
Thank you. It was close.
Because I remember because the score is flipped.
Look at you. That's
I remember it.
You're like Ben Affleck in The Accountant, you know, with that.
Come on.
What? I'm just saying you're good with numbers. I'm not saying the other thing.
Yeah, it felt like you're saying the other thing. Could have gone with Goodwill Hunting. A well-adjusted Boston genius as opposed to the un-well-adjusted Boston genius.
I don't know. I don't think either of them are well-adjusted, to be perfectly honest.
Will was a little bit more adjusted.
A little bit. But, I mean, listen, I feel like the other one, he adjusted himself to be a Ben Affleck's character in The Accountant. He trained himself
assassin?
To be an incredible assassin. Like one of the GOATs where Matt Damon's character in the...
just went to work for NASA. Ugh.
I mean, no, he just he drives across the country. We have no idea what he's about to do.
Wasn't that to work for NASA?
He's no, gotta go see about a girl.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He isn't doing anything. He gets all these great offers. He's blown potential. This guy, they're gonna be broken up in months. Months. He's gonna be a deadbeat on the couch. Anyway, sorry. Bringing it back. CJ Stroud.
CJ Stroud proved it against Georgia.
There are so many recent players who are already crediting C.J. Stroud as one of the best. And there's always a little bit of a honeymoon phase when it comes to a player like C.J. Stroud and his coverage. But there's also a bit of an element, I think, with all players who are no longer playing of thinking to themselves, well, I was better, or our era was tougher to play in. And yet, there has yet to be a serious zagger against C.J. Stroud. We heard a zag earlier today, Tashaun Gibson, Houston Texans legend, who in the middle of the Super Bowl that we just saw on Sunday basically said Patrick Mahomes is just like every other quarterback in the league. And whether he was trying to hype himself up or his teammates up or actually speaking what he really believes, you have yet to see that with Stroud. It's only been one season. I'm sure at some point it'll come. All it's going to take is a couple of playoff losses, and we're maybe looking at him the same way that we at times look at Josh Allen, that we at times look at Josh Allen through that prism. Unfortunately, those two guys, speaking to Patrick Mahomes, they have to beat him. C.J. Stroud has to beat him. Only guy in the AFC that's beaten Mahomes in a big game that matters, still going, is Joe Burrow. That's it. But I love hearing the amount of deference and the amount of praise that Stroud is getting from guys who have recently played in the league. And maybe part of that is also just a matter of everyone has a podcast. Everyone's got an ability to talk on social media. So we're getting more of it than we've seen with past young quarterbacks. But everyone really likes him. Going a little bit further, there's another podcast I was checking out. We've played audio from this podcast before. This isn't Cam Newton's podcast. This is a podcast of a couple of Colts players. It's EJ Speed and Zaire Franklin, I believe. Seems like it's a pretty fun podcast. They had T.Y. Hilton on the show. You remember him. T.Y. Hilton has the most ridiculous numbers for any wide receiver against the Houston Texans ever. His numbers against the Texans are just incredible. So, oh, Sean, were you about to say something? Sorry about that.
No, I was just going to say how incredible they are.
They are nuts. We don't even need to re-list them.
They need like a parental advisory that comes up before you look them up. Like, they're just absolutely gruesome.
They're traumatic. Trigger warning, T.Y. Hilton against the Houston Texans. I mean, the guy even wore a clown mask after Jonathan Joseph called him a clown. He made Jonathan Joseph, who is one of the toughest players in Texans history, he made Jonathan Joseph look like a fraud. And I hate saying that because I love Jonathan Joseph. He's one of my favorite Texans that I've covered here. But he just kicked his ass, and he kicked every Houston Texans ass over the course of his career. So I can understand why Joseph would get mad at T.Y. Hilton. But Hilton on this podcast with EJ Speed and Zaire Franklin was asked who he sees in the NFL today that reminds him of him. You're going to love this answer.
It's still early, but I'm telling you right now, I'm going to make some of y'all mad, but they're part of the city that I own, right? CJ and Tank Dell, bro. Them two right there, bro. Like, I feel like they're more off-camera guys. You feel me? Like, well, off-script guys. You feel me? Like, CJ could scramble. Luck could scramble. CJ's looking for one person. Luck could scramble. He's looking for one person.
I hate that he just said that because I agree.
And it's crazy because, like, bro, I was watching one of their games, and CJ scrambled and just threw it to Tank.
I know exactly what you're talking about. Back right corner.
Yes, sir. Yeah, exactly just right threw it to Tank. I say, well, I got on my phone, I tell my homeboy, I say, yo, that look like me and Luck, bro. Like, no cap. Like, that's different. Mm-hmm. And as I kept watching them, they kept going off script, off script, off script. And then when they get on script, like, it's just like, man, how are we going to stop D2?
It's an apt comparison. Same draft class in Indianapolis. Probably the best pick by Ryan Grigson and the Colts. Because, yeah, they got Andrew Luck. That's the first overall pick. That was the obvious pick. Everyone knew they were going to do that. But they got T.Y. Hilton, I believe, in the third round, much like the Houston Texans got Tank Dell in the third round. And then on top of that, you compare the speed, you compare the size, the ability of those two to get past defenders. I think it's a great comparison made by T.Y. Hilton to himself. And if they have T.Y. Hilton and Tank Dell, that's damn good. T.Y. Hilton's not quite Hall of Fame, but, I mean, And look, the Colts have had some really good wide receivers over the years. But, I mean, he was one of the most terrifying wide receivers. Obviously, we learned that the hard way. In the AFC South, ever. I think that's a very fair point to make. So I like the Dell comparison. And that is a good point when it comes to Stroud and it comes to extending plays. And it was one of the things that was definitely missing and made everything feel a lot more difficult the last couple of games of the year. Because once Dell went down, everything did feel a little bit more difficult. And obviously that's going to happen when you lose someone like Dell. But it was specifically those improv moments. Because it did seem like it came to a point where Stroud was only looking for Collins. And nothing against Nico Collins, who I think is proven he's a really good receiver himself. But it's more difficult for a big guy like that to get open as quickly, change direction as quickly, as someone like Tank Dell has clearly proven he can do. So Dell's health, huge priority this coming season. Maybe don't have him, I don't know. In a situation where someone could potentially roll into him around the defensive line, especially when he is smaller than me and is probably going to do less than me when it comes to blocking defenders on the goal line. And that sounds like an a-hole statement to say.
Whoa.
I'm sorry, man. I don't know. What are we doing? He's 5'8", 165. What are we doing here? What are we doing? I was a good blocker in high school.
I know.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding on that front. But look, the hyperbole was made to make a point here. Just don't have him in that area because Stroud has a lot of ability, obviously. We like him as a pocket passer. We like his decision-making. We like his aversions to mistakes. But his improv is 100% made better by a guy like Tank Dell. And the idea that you're going to find another Tank Dell in the draft, that's misallocated resources. You need the draft picks. You need to use them on other players, I think. And at the same time, in free agency, same thing. We all want to see the Texans add someone sexy, like a wide receiver of some sort, so that this offense is seemingly unstoppable. But no, you just got to keep Tank Dell healthy, because you got to Tank Dell, and you got to keep this guy as long as you possibly can. He is Sean Mapes. I am Paul Gallant. It is the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The season finale of Taylor Swift Watch is next, and in garbage time, one, there was a battle last night in the NBA that has me wishing that another battle had happened in the past. And two, one of my favorite teams, best players ever, has an immaculate list of significant others that he has apparently added to. You will be shocked by who is on this list now. Paul Gallant Show, stick around.
We're ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5, thriving on chaos.
I'm here to kill chaos. That's my chaos.
Back to the Paul Gallant Show, coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Most interactive sports talk show in Houston. If you want to jump in, 713-780-3776. It's how you call, it's how you text. You can join us on YouTube. Like and subscribe if you haven't already. We're also on Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN975. So on Friday, I thought that we had hit rock bottom when it came to the coverage of Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift's relationship. But as Sean pointed out to me, we knew that there was a chance that we would be discussing them again this week. Why is that? Well, because there was going to be a parade. Now, obviously, some horrible things happened at the parade. Talked about that in the first hour of the show if you want to hear them. But the question that was on everybody's mind, did Taylor Swift show up at the parade for Travis Kelce? It's time for another and perhaps the final episode of Taylor Swift Watch 2024.
Taylor Swift Watch.
So I guess the city manager of Kansas City told Taylor Swift's representatives the city would not have been equipped to handle the extra traffic her attendance would have brought. And to my knowledge, I did not see Taylor Swift at yesterday's parade. Gotta wonder about this relationship. Is Taylor Swift perhaps, after seeing Travis Kelce do his fight for your right to party thing, was she a little bit...
Did she get the ick?
The ick, right, Sean? Did she get the ick? Did she get the ick for that? Did she get the ick for Travis Kelce yelling and getting mad at Andy Reid? Disappointing update yesterday. The Inside the NFL episode that featured a mic'd up Travis Kelce. We heard from Tashaun Gibson that some 49ers players thought that Patrick Mahomes is just another quarterback. We did not, as I expected, get to hear the audio of Travis Kelce yelling at Andy Reid, which is a massive disappointment. Instead, what we got on the latest episode of the Kelce Brothers podcast with Jason Kelce and Travis Kelce, we got Jason setting Travis up for an apology.
The broadcast showed you having a heated exchange with Coach Reid.
So heated. People are all over this. I mean, I get it.
You cross the line. I think we can both agree on that.
I can't get that fired up to the point where I'm bumping Coach and it's getting him off balance and stuff.
I mean, let's be honest. The yelling in his face, too, is over the top. I think there's better ways to handle this.
I love Coach Reid. Coach Reid knows how much I'd love to play for him. I'm not playing for anybody else but Big Red. If he calls it quits this year, I'm out there with him, man.
He ain't calling it quits. Come on now.
He's not. I immediately wish I would have took it back. Coach Reid actually came right up to me after that, and he just let him know, hey, man, I love your passion. I got cameras on me all over the place, man.
He's letting you know not to be like that.
Just fired me up even more to go out there and get a victory for him, man. Big Red, sorry if I caught you with that cheap shot, baby. But damn, I love winning with you.
You got to have your head on a swivel, because next time he gets fired up at you, he's coming hot at you. You know that.
Oh, yeah, I deserve it. If he would have cold cocked me in the face right there, I would have just ate it and just been like, yeah, let's go.
That would have been awesome if he pulled a Buddy Ryan with the Houston Oilers on Kevin Gilbride, Andy Reid. Just completely out of left field and completely out of character, just slaps Travis Kelce. Just
finds his footing, whap.
How would that have been received?
Not well.
Would people have still been as mad about Kelce yelling at Reid, or would they have taken Reid's side? I think a lot of people would have taken Reid's side. They would have been like, yeah, he deserved it.
I think there would have been some like that. That's too far, you know. As a coach, that's, you know, you can't hit a player as a coach.
Oh, it's like the military industrial complex football culture is getting a little bit too aggressive. He's pulling a General Patton with the guy that was shell shocked. Anyone hear that story?
No, before my time, I think.
So, in World War II, Patton was the general of the Allies in Europe. Patton was, I guess, like visiting a hospital. And if I'm not mistaken, at the very least, he called a shell-shocked soldier, or heavily implied that the guy was a bitch. I don't know if he slapped him as well, but that would be the comparison. George Patton, everybody. The Allies brought him back in after, like, things weren't going so great, too. He was only temporarily suspended.
Kind of like Bobby Knight.
Yeah.
This is the Bobby Knight of
the U.S. Armed Forces. Right, exactly. Exactly. Sometimes you need a little Bobby Knight out there. It's war, baby. Okay. Continuing Taylor Swift watch, a couple of quick stories. So we were wondering if she got the ick seeing Travis Kelce yelling at Andy Reid, but did you see that on TikTok, Taylor brought her parents to an after party and Travis was there and he crossed in front of her and made a goofy face and she posted it and they were making out? And Travis wasn't clingy. Like, she was doing her own thing and Travis was doing his own thing. And on top of that, did you know that Kanye West allegedly per Brandon Marshall bought seats in front of Taylor Swift so he could photobomb her TV appearances? But that Ye's team denied those accusations? Did you know that?
Did you know that this is going to be the last Taylor Swift watch?
Did you know that the reason that Travis Kelce had to move into a 6 million, 6 baths, 6 bed, 16,000 square foot place was because fans were camping outside of his house and he had to move? And then when he moved, that somebody tried to come in his back door? No, not like that. Like, I mean, the actual back door.
Oh, okay.
It's a gated community. Someone went to the back window of the house and they knocked on the window.
So is this the last story that we're doing for Taylor Swift Watch, or is there one more that
nope,
you need to get
it.
Out? I think it's
that's
best it. That we just flush it all.
That's it. I'm thinking the same thing,
empty
Sean.
The clip.
We're just doing it for ratings. And there you go. That's it. We're done talking about Taylor Swift forever. It's over. It's over. All right, guys. Paul Galacho, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. It's time for a little garbage time to wrap things up. I'm only
happy when I'm garbage. And then I start eating garbage.
If there's one guy up here who knows about total garbage,
garbage,
it's this guy. It's garbage time with Paul Gallant. Let's go.
Let's go.
Remember when Isaiah Stewart was in the middle of a game really angry at, I believe, LeBron James and wanted to start a fight with him and basically fought through an entire team of guys holding him back to try and confront him? Well, there was less of a Secret Service-esque protection for LeBron for Phoenix Drew Eubanks because Isaiah Stewart punched Eubanks in the back tunnels of the Suns arena yesterday. I really want to know what would have happened if Isaiah Stewart had actually been able to get through. Clearly, he's got some anger issues. Maybe he needs to work on that. But Isaiah Stewart, not someone to F with.
No, seems like he has a temper. I'll say that.
It does seem like he has a temper.
Seems like things get out of hand when he's around.
I think he would have beaten LeBron in a fight. I think he would have won.
Yeah, similar size, and then you have to go to who wants it more.
He wants it more.
He wants it more.
He wants the smoke.
I mean, LeBron was like, why is this guy so mad? Like,
yeah.
See, he was just like, as 95 people were getting in between Isaiah Stewart and LeBron. LeBron was like, what's going on?
I want to see LeBron fight someone. I feel like I'd have more respect for LeBron if he fought someone.
That's the most Paul Gallant taken.
Yeah, but he'll never do it. He'll never do it.
Why would he?
You should fight Draymond.
At this point, like, what would happen that makes LeBron so upset that he would have to fight someone?
Draymond does anything.
They're boys.
Oh, yeah, they are. God, the NBA sucks sometimes. All right, I'm going to wrap up garbage time with this story. So, Patriots legend Julian Edelman, one of the greatest Hall of Fame performers, Hall of Fame caliber performers in playoff history. He has dated Victoria's Secret supermodel Adriana Lima. The mother of his child, Ella Rose, also seems to be a swimsuit model of some sort. And per rumors, he may be dating Shakira. Yes. It's the Patriot way. It's the Patriot way. Whenever, forever, something to be with you together. I'll be there and you'll be here. And that's going to wrap up the Paul Gallant Show. Good for Julian Edelman, if that's happening. You're welcome for literally 15 straight minutes of TMZ to wrap up this radio
program. And a little Isaiah Stewart.
And Isaiah Stewart, too.
So violence and TMZ, the
and
Paul Gallant Show.
That's what we do. That's what we do. And we talked about guns. What a show. What range we showed today. Big thanks to Sean Mapes, our YouTube audience. Like and subscribe if you haven't already. Our Twitchers, texters, and callers. I am merely Paul Gallant. So long, farewell. Have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. Connor and Beard are up next. Peace!
And you made that look sexy.
ESPN 97.5.com Sports Scooby Snacks.
No one seems to be here, Scoob. And by the looks of this pad, I don't blame them.